so good, giving up his life for all of mankind, for the sick and the dying, the deaf and the blind. Hammer on nail and on wood, the Son of God dying, spilling his blood, taking the place of the sacrificial lamb, putting sin to death. He will rise again. Hammer on nail and on wood, young man dies, man so good. He gave up his life for all of mankind, for the sick and the dying, the deaf and the blind. Hammer on nail and on wood, the Son of God dead, he has spilled his blood. He took the place of the sacrificial lamb, he puts in the death, he will rise again. As the echo of the hammering is dying down, the news is spreading around the town. The young man who died has risen from the dead, fulfilling the prophets and the things that he said. Hammer on nail and on wood, the Son of God risen, having spilled his blood, no more will the sacrifice have to be made. On the hill of Calvary, the price will be paid. We don't have to be blind not to see. We don't have to be deaf not to hear. We don't have to die to be dead. We can be sick without being dead. Hammer on the nail, on the hand on the wood. Jesus died, he's the Son of God, but he rose again.
Forgive. We were. love's pure stream. For us he was made sin, oh help us take it in. Deep wounds of love cry out, Father, forgive. We worship. Sacred head, now wounded, with grief and shame we know. O kingly head, so rounded, with thorns your only crown, death's shadows rise before.
The first reading is from John, chapter 19, verses 16b to 27. Jesus is nailed to a cross. Jesus was taken away, and he carried his cross to a place known as the skull. In Aramaic, this place is called Golgotha. There Jesus was nailed to the cross, and on each side of him a man was also nailed to a cross. Pilate ordered the charge against Jesus to be written on a board and put above the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The words were written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. The place where Jesus was taken wasn't far from the city, and many of the people read the charge against him. So the chief priests went to Pilate and said, Why did you write that he is King of the Jews? You should have written, He claimed to be King of the Jews. But Pilate told them, What is written will not be changed. After the soldiers had nailed Jesus to the cross, they divided up his clothes into four parts, one for each of them. But his outer garment was made from a single piece of cloth, and it did not have any seams. The soldiers said to each other, Let's not rip it apart. We'll gamble to see who gets it. This happened so the scriptures would come true, which say, They divided up my clothes and gambled for my garments. The soldiers then did what they had decided. Jesus' mother stood beside his cross with her sister and Mary, the wife of Clopas. Mary Magdalene was standing there too. When Jesus saw his mother and his favourite disciple with her, he said to his mother, This man is now your son. Then he said to the disciple, She is now your mother. From then on, that disciple took her into his own home.
Please remain seated while we sing.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count not loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. For in it more that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God.
The second reading is from John chapter 19, verses 28 to 37, the death of Jesus. Jesus knew that he had now finished his work. And in order to make the scriptures come true, he said, "I'm thirsty." A jar of cheap wine was there. Someone then soaked a sponge with the wine and held it up to Jesus' mouth on the stem of a hyssop plant. After Jesus drank the wine, he said, "Everything is done." He bowed his head and died. The next day would be both a Sabbath and the Passover. It was a special day for the Jewish people, and they did not want the bodies to stay on the crosses during this day. So they asked Pilate to break the men's legs and take their bodies down. The soldiers first broke the legs of the other two men who were nailed there. But when they came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead, and they did not break his legs. One of the soldiers stuck his spear into Jesus' side, and blood and water came out. We know this is true because it was told by someone who saw it happen. Now you can have faith too. All this happened so that the scriptures would come true, which say, "No bone of his body will be broken, and they will see the one in whose side they stuck a spear." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. A prayer of praise and thanksgiving adapted from chapter 1 of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We praise you, Lord God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We praise you because you chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in your sight. We praise you because in love you decided before all time that we would be your children through Jesus Christ in accordance with your pleasure and purpose. We praise you, Lord God, for your glorious grace, that incredible free gift given to us in your dear Son. We praise you that through the blood of Jesus, we are set free, our sins forgiven because of your amazing grace lavished on us. We praise you that you have made known to us the mystery of your will according to your good pleasure purposed in Christ, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. We praise you, our Lord and God, that we have been included in Christ and have received the gift of the promised Holy Spirit. And we give you thanks, Lord God, for your gift of wisdom and revelation, so that we may know and serve you humbly and faithfully. We give you thanks that we have been enabled to know the hope to which you have called us, to know the rich and wonderful blessings that are ours, to know the great and incomparable power that is present to us, that same power that was with Jesus when you raised him from the dead. We give you thanks, dear Lord, that we have been included in your body, this wonderful thing known as church. May we live our lives day by day in all the truth of who we are in Christ and all that you have called us to. And we offer you these praises and thanks, our Lord and God, Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus.
cross they died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross, thank you.
Lots of people who say, why is Good Friday called good? It's a horrible day. And in some ways it is. In some ways, it's horrible. I mean, we look at behind us and there's a cross. I mean, crucifixion was one of the most horrible ways to die. You actually die of asphyxiation. I don't know if I can do it at the moment, but when your arms are held up and your body weight is hanging from it, eventually the muscles around your rib cage spasm. The pain is such that they spasm and you can no longer breathe. Talks about them breaking the legs of the other two on the cross, and that was so they would die quicker. Because when you are gradually asphyxiating on the cross, you pull yourself up with your legs to relieve the muscle pain so that you might breathe again. It's one of the most horrible ways that you can imagine to die. And it's that that Jesus endured for us. He went through that awful way of dying. And it's not as if that came out of the blue. They flogged him. 39 lashes. Except that, you know, we have a picture of maybe some nice pristine new whip, except they tied bits of bone into the leather. And of course nobody washed the bones between uses. 39 lashes. And Roman soldiers were big, burly guys. To handle a sword in battle, you had to have muscle. So when they got into flogging, they got into flogging. It was an awful thing, and people died of the flogging alone. So Good Friday looks anything but good. And when we look at the behaviour of the people, I mean, we've got the palm branches. One week they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And 5 days later, what are they saying? Crucify him. Not exactly showing human nature at its best, is it? It's awful how quickly the crowd turned. And as for the chief priests, the way that they went about manipulating Pilate was in your face. Now, they wanted to get rid of Jesus. They couldn't kill him, so they took him to the Roman governor. And when it looked like the Roman governor wasn't going to accede to their request that he should be killed, they basically said, in nice language, we'll dob on you to Caesar. And Pilate was not the strongest man in the world. And so he gave in. And we see several elements of Pilate's remorse through the story. You know, the fact that he washes his hands to say, "This ain't my fault, guys." But then he puts on the little plaque, "Jesus Christ, King of the Jews." I think he was actually saying something about character there. He was suggesting that his character was way better than the leaders of the Jewish people. We're still not in very good country, are we? In fact, Good Friday from a human level looks anything but good. We see the very worst of what can be. And yet, Good Friday is good. Why is Good Friday good? Well, if we look, the Jews all through the Old Testament are struggling against the ideas of God in their day. The ideas of God in their day was that God punishes the wicked. And if God's not on your side, you're going to die horribly. And at times that comes through in their behaviour. At times they reflect the behaviour of the world around them. But gradually through the Old Testament, until by the time we come to Isaiah particularly, but not only Isaiah, we see this other message of a God who loves, a God who forgives. That there's this subtext of all of the offerings, all of the blood offerings and the burnt offerings are all about giving a chance for the love of God to be expressed. But it isn't there yet. But God is saying, and gradually getting it through to the Jews, that he is a God of love. And so on Good Friday, we see that expressed in the most powerful of ways. Jesus becomes the one who achieved for the Father what his greatest desire was. What was the great desire of God? To be reunited with us, that we might be one. To have again the sort of intimacy and closeness that there was in the garden with Adam and Eve. To restore that intimacy. To restore again that closeness. You know, they walked in the cool of the evening. And I'll tell you, at the moment, this is the time of the year for the cool of the evening, isn't it? We're just getting delightful evenings, and that image of the delightfulness of that evening time with God is just replete with contentment, satisfaction, being at peace with the world around us. It's all there. It's all powerful. And on Good Friday, Jesus deals with all the things that separate us. That's the first thing that's good. That anything that might separate us from God is dealt with. That's no small thing. In fact, it completely changes the dynamic of the world in our understanding. You know, as a kid, I don't know if you remember this, but people always used to talk about having a ledger in heaven where our good deeds and bad deeds would be recorded. Am I the only one that was scared enough of it that I remember it? Yep. You know, it was, wasn't it? There was this image of God keeps a score almost. Good Friday says, that ledger's been chucked. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And in Jesus, we see that all of those old ideas about judgment and wrath are thrown out. All of them. There is only one unforgivable sin, and that's turning your back on Jesus and denying him. Well, you have autonomy. And if you deny Jesus, if you turn your back on him, if you choose not to live in the love of God, then God lets you. John says in John 3:19, and this is judgment, that the light came into the world and men chose darkness rather than light. It's about a choice. So what's the goodness of God? In Jesus, we see that all of the bad is dealt with. So if all of the bad is dealt with, if we choose to participate in it, then surely that's good. That's the first point. The second and equally powerful point is that if there was ever any doubt that God is a God of love, then Good Friday dispels it. Because on Good Friday, the loving God, because he loves us so much, allowed the sin of the world to fall on his Son. He gave up his only child because of his love for us. Very powerful, really, isn't it? That God would choose to give up the primary object of his love, that is his child, because of his love for us. If you don't believe that you are loved, think about that. God is so clearly a God of love when he does that. And Good Friday declares that in a way that declares it through history, which says, don't you ever say that I am not a God of love, because I am. See what I did. So Good Friday is good because the love of God is demonstrated in such powerful ways. So we have the Son who deals with all of the things that would separate us from God. He takes on the sin of the world. What's it? He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. Jesus took our sin so that we might be restored with the Father, and the Father gave his Son that we might know how much we are loved. Good Friday's good. Oh yeah, the human side of it's horrible. But coming from God's side, it's incredibly powerful. And God does that for you. Now, when I was young, somebody once said, and it struck me with the power that remains with me to this day, which was, you know, if you were the only one that needed it, God would have still sent Jesus to die for you. Now, I know I'm not, because I know you. We're in this together. You need it as much as I need it, and I need it as much as you need it. Yeah? You know, this Friday is good, because in it your salvation is won. This Friday is good, because in it your relationship with God is restored. This Friday is good because in it you know that God loves you with an incredible power. So that's why Good Friday is good. we're going to sing, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. I think that's right. Have I got that right? Yeah, nod at me or something, David. Okay, we're going to sing that song, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. For it reminds us that our future and our salvation has been done by God. I'd invite you to stand and sing, Yet Not I.
Trevor said, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I would add to that, it's not what we've done or not done, it's what's been done for us by Jesus. When he appeared to the disciples in the upper room, you know, they're all hiding away, stashed, he came in and the first thing he said was, peace be with you.
Said that he will make me whole. Halt! Who goes there? Oh, you're just out for a stroll, are you? Well, what are you doing? This is a grave, and I'm guarding it. What do you mean, whose grave? It belongs to Joseph of Arimathea. No, he hasn't died yet. It belongs to another guy, or he allowed another guy to use it. Someone we crucified. Someone we crucified earlier today. Someone called Jesus. No, I don't know why he allowed him to use it. Oh, you mean, why did we crucify Jesus? No, my name is Marcus, and I drew the short straw and got this horrible job guarding a grave. Seems pretty dumb, doesn't it? I mean, just think, anyone would think that he's going to get up and run away. If he tries, he'll soon find out how tough a Roman centurion is. Oh, what? My father liked the name Marcus. Well, he thinks Marcus Aurelius is a good guy, but I'm not so sure. Look, we crucified Jesus of Nazareth because not really sure. Pilate didn't seem to like him, but he's a coward. I shouldn't really say that. Someone said the chief priests, they threatened to dog Pilate in to Caesar. But, you know, that didn't work either, because his wife, she didn't want him to do it. Didn't want him to have anything to do with it. And I guess in the end, he didn't really have a choice. And I don't know why the chief priests were so upset. They said he claimed to be a king. And that they thought he was claiming to be their tin pot god. But they did have their knickers in a twist. I don't know really why they were really quite like that. You know, I saw this Jesus in Jerusalem the other day, and he certainly didn't look like either a king or a god. And the crowd, well, the crowd, they were all for him a week ago. But last night, I can tell you, they couldn't shout crucify him quick enough. And I don't know what's going to happen now, but whatever. I sure hope I don't get into any trouble. Anyway, it'll all blow over. It'll blow over just in a few days. You mark my words. I can't see anything coming of this. Can you?
Today I'm going to scream at you, just listen and live in action.
To this I hold my heart.